Grace to you and peace from God who heals us in our wounds. Amen. These texts that we read in the gospel for today follow immediately after the text we had last week about the storm. Jesus, in the first text from last week, goes across the lake to a foreign country. Now he has come home. As he steps onto the quay, immediately there is an official who comes to him and says, "Come, my daughter is ill." Out of despair for the life of his daughter, he approaches this strange man, Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus will do. He's confident that Jesus will be able to do something. And out of that despair, he calls. As Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, he encounters another in need of healing. Out of her desperation, this woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, she had been sick. For 12 years, she had been sick. She thinks to herself, and it's a wonderful scene. If you can put yourself in the scene, Jesus, surrounded by his disciples and the crowd, is on his way to Jairus' house. And as he's striding along, she just reaches out. "If I can just touch the edge of his clothes, I will be healed." She doesn't need any incantations. She doesn't need a whole lot of attention. She just wants to touch the hem of his robe. And when she does, she immediately, it says, perceives in her body that she's been healed. So a man out of despair and a woman out of desperation, both experiencing that sense of being out of control in their life, of being at the end of their rope, encounter Jesus. This is an interesting pairing of stories. We've already had the storm where everyone and everything was out of control. And now that gets personalized in these two people. The woman, of course, as you know, you've probably heard this preached a million times, has no business, first of all, even being there. She shouldn't be in the crowd. And she certainly shouldn't be touching the rabbi. She's unclean. The man whose daughter is ill, having touched an ill person, should not be in the crowd. He is unclean. One of the amazing things of this story, and one of my favorite parts of this story, is that Jesus ignores that altogether. It's not even mentioned. "How could you, an unclean person, touch me? How could you, you know, father of this dying girl, dare?" None of that is even contained in the gospel, but we know it to be true. Jesus meets them in the midst of their desperation and despair and brings, as I told the children, God's love. This is a remarkably generous gospel. The generosity of a God who would throw away convention for the sake of the human ones. So, they get healed. The woman experiences in her body a change, and so does Jesus. He whips around, and the verb is absolutely wonderful because it's the sweeping gaze of Jesus. He sweeps around and he looks. It's not a happy one, by the way. This is one of those things like, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" as he felt the power go out of him. And we know who it is. This woman who for 12 years had been bleeding, unclean, set aside. "Who touched my clothes?" he says. And his disciples said, "You see the crowd around you. What are you, crazy? Could have been anybody. Who touched me?" And the woman, knowing what had happened, came up to him in fear and trembling, the one who had dared to touch the master, and fell down before him and told, and I love this word, the whole truth. "It was me. It was me. I did it." Can you imagine? Right there in the middle of the crowd, this unclean woman, this person who had no business being there, she says, "It was me. It was me." And Jesus looks at her and he doesn't yell at her. He doesn't chastise her. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That is the healing of Jesus. The one that sets aside all of the conventions, that doesn't worry about whether we deserve what we receive. Just go in peace. Now that would be enough of a story, and we could all go home and go, "Isn't that nice?" But of course the gospel writer doesn't let us get off that easily. The funny part of the story is that while Jesus has been messing around with the woman with the hemorrhage, Jairus' daughter, who was just sick a little while ago, she croaked off. She's dead. And now the wailers are outside the door, and they're crying and they're weeping, all appropriate good stuff. And Jesus says, "What's the matter with you? She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And they said, "Ah, here's a good doctor. He doesn't know when people are dead. Even we know when people are dead. Somebody call an ambulance." Again, to touch the dead is to become ritually unclean. But Jesus dives right in, takes his disciples in, and he says to her, "Talitha kum, daughter, arise." And she does. "Talitha kum, daughter, arise." And she stands up and he takes her by the hand, it says, "Get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk. And she was 12 years of age. She was born about the time the woman with the hemorrhage started to bleed. And he strictly ordered them that no one would tell anyone about it. This generous gospel reminds us again and again about how God chooses to be in our lives. That healing comes unlooked for and unbidden. So what do we do with all of us who pray for healing but never receive it? It seems unfair. I mean, what if Jesus had been there the day that my dad died? He contracted thrombotic thrombocytopenic purpura on Monday, and he died on Thursday. Where was Jesus? He was bleeding out all over his body. Why couldn't Jesus have saved him? Why was that fair? How is it that one child has cancer and dies and another receives a miracle cure? What kind of capricious God announces that kind of healing? How is it that a child in Iraq can die of an unintended explosion, or a soldier die from a roadside bomb? and yet others live. It would be nice to just take the text and say, look, when we ask for healing and touch the hem of Jesus, we're healed and it's all good. But it's not that easy. It's not that formulaic. And despite the promises of generations of faith healers and snake oil salesmen and preachers who will promise you anything if you just write a big enough check, it's also not how God works. I wish that I could tell you that I know how God works, or how these healings happen and sometimes and don't happen in other times. I wish I could just say to you, look, it's all just a sham. Really, it's just about Jesus being with you. And that's part of it. But this text seems clear that healing happens for people and for communities. It's a mysterious and incredible experience. But the absence of healing does not indicate the absence of God. Healing happens in lots of ways. A few years ago, I walked a man through his death, and it was amazing. He prayed for healing. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to, like all of us, live. But it wasn't to be. But he died well. He prayed with his family. He spoke to them of life and joy. He spoke to them of the presence of God in his life, of his disappointments and his victories. And when he passed away, he left a gift of healing for his family and his friends. He left the gift that Jesus leaves with all of us. This generous gospel reminds us that we may not fully understand the mystery of the world, but it is God's world. This generous gospel reminds us that God chooses life and chooses to put away the social conventions that keep life at bay. Above all, God chooses you. And that may be the healing that we need most of all. A healing that transcends the band-aids that we put on our cuts. A healing that transcends the healing of our bodies, that in the love of Christ, we joined with all the body of Christ and with the whole world have been chosen by God, who says to us, Talitha cum, little one, get up.